Good morning. This has just been going over and over in my mind this morning. Remember when Sarah taught and she said, I'm Sarah, tall and natural. She said plain. I say natural. But she sings. I always wanted to be tall and natural looking. But I'm Jeannie and I'm short and blingy. Seriously. But I sing not in the natural realm, but in the spiritual realm. God has taught me through a lot of pain and trial and tribulation how to sing. And I feel like I'm standing before you this morning, coming straight from a battle. Last night we had the healing service here. And I hope I can get through. I don't know what God's going to do today, girls. But I know that he wants us to stand in power and anointing. But I know that he wants us to take this serious. And as we stood in front here and anointed people with oil last night, and the blind and the deaf came to be healed. And those that had cancer throughout their body came to be healed. And those with wayward children came to be healed. Whew. That's the work of the ministry. That's why this is so important. Because folks that don't know Christ, and folks that do know Christ but are going through trial and tribulation, and folks who don't know how to walk this out, need God to speak to them through us. And so what I thought was going to be a light and funny teaching, and I called Amy and I said, or I texted her and I said, make sure the music, Janine, is real upbeat, because it's going to be a serious, sobering, sweet word today. Went home last night, heavy in a good way. Do you know what I mean by heavy in a good way? Just like, Lord, you showed up and that was amazing. And I, you know, checked my Facebook and my messages. And on Facebook, there were two women that I knew from Indiana. One, her son was hit by a train 8 years ago and went to heaven. And she's lost her faith in the Lord. And the other one's mother, the other girl who was talking, her mother has been diagnosed with cancer for the third time. And as she put it, my mom believes in the Lord and she tithes. I don't know why this happened to her. I don't know if I believe in a God like that. And I thought to myself, oh, what could I respond? And I saw another girl respond with a 3-point mini sermon on, you know, don't worry about it. When you get to heaven, you'll figure it out. God will show you. And I thought, Lord, that'd probably be something I'd have said 10 years ago until I went through the fire. There's no words that can convey hope to those people. Only God, through us, can convey hope. Because we know when all hope is gone, we can hope still. There was nothing I could type that would make them go, oh, okay. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to drive to Indiana and grab those girls up and hug them and say, God loves you and I love you. And sometimes that's what mentoring is all about. God's calling us to more than just these three amazing things we can say to set people free. And you know what? There is nothing, no amount of wisdom, no PhD, nothing that you can know that's going to take the place of power and anointing of Jesus Christ. Now, I do want to finish the chapter. And this is going to be a sweet time. God has just laid on my heart some neat things that he wants to do. So I'm going to go over what it means to be a mentor and a mentee. But I believe God is calling us to be set apart today. We've went through a year of discipleship training. I would have thought that Dave would be here today. But for whatever reason, God chose him to be here last week. And then at the end of the time that we share together, the leaders are going to come up and they're going to anoint you with oil, and I'll explain about that later. And then we're going to have a sweet time of just bowing low before the Lord, just in submissive reverence to him. And I pray the Holy Spirit will just, you know what I mean by that? Just in our hearts will show us that, you know what? No amount of learning, no amount of training, no amount of education is going to take the place from being wholly submitted to him. He can do more in 30 seconds in our lives through his power and anointing, through the blood of Jesus Christ, than we can do in a lifetime. So that should take a lot of pressure and freedom off and bring us into freedom. Amen? So that's kind of what it's going to look like. Well, first of all, let me just share a few scriptures. Everybody tracking with me so far? Okay, I'm not crying. I'm good right now. First of all, let me allow me to share some of God's heart on mentoring, a few scriptures that God really brought to my heart, how he feels about mentoring. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5 says, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." The two words in that scripture that just jumped out of the page at me, one of them was example. And an example means a person or way of behaving that is considered a model for other people. And I thought, well, that's neat. We can be a model for other people. But when you look up model, it's copy of quality. In and of myself, I've got a lot of flaws. I would say I'm not a model. I'd say I'd lack quality. But with Christ, we are models of quality. It doesn't matter how inadequate we feel. We are models of quality because you know what? Jesus is quality through and through. The other thing that struck home to me was humility. And that means a way of behaving that shows that you do not think you are better or more important than others. And it's funny about humility. Some people don't struggle with that. Some people already feel like they're lower than dirt. And other people have a high opinion of themselves. And you know what? I don't think either extreme is good. I think God wants us to know who we are in him. And when we know who we are in him, we don't have to boast and we don't have to grovel. Psalm 145:4 says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." That means that all of us can declare to the next generation God's mighty acts. And we were talking back in the prayer room, and this is really sweet, about stars. and how incredibly bright they are. And you hear, oh, stars are bright. I want to shine like a star. Seriously, if you think about that, wow. But the groovy thing about stars is they're light years away. So the light that they're giving off from 6 gazillion light years ago is still shining. We're just now seeing that. So it is with us. As we pass down what God has given us to that next generation, they in turn pass that down to the next generation. So the words that we speak today have intense value, and we have a big responsibility not to take it lightly. 10 years ago when I was diagnosed with cancer and given 1 year to live, my prayer, I wanted to live. I wanted to be with my hubby and be with my children. But the cry of my heart was to be able for God to allow me to see my grandbabies. My kids were in high school. And as I was preparing for this, my daughter just gave birth last week to the 5th grandbaby. Seriously? How sweet. How sweet that all that God has given me, and I have poured into her through Christ, and now to be able to see her pour that into Ruby, that's the work of the ministry. I love that. Titus 2, 3 through 5 says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to too much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. And train means to teach someone. That doesn't mean lord it over them. That doesn't mean, you know, be domineering. That means train. And Dave talked about this in his book. When we train someone, we come alongside of them, we pour into them, but then we walk beside them as they work it out. That's training. It's not like, you do this, you do that. I love that. And then reviled means criticized. We don't want to be a stumbling block at all for the Lord. If I ever, and I have, been a stumbling block, be quick to get to the feet of the Lord and be quick to share with others, I'm sorry I was a stumbling block. Here's what I should have done. It's funny, at 52 years old, somebody came up to me a couple weeks ago and said, I love it, you're a Titus woman. I didn't feel like that. I thought I was still one of those younger women in there that, yeah, that's sweet. That's sweet. Mentoring is not a cookie cutter version of ourselves, and I just want to make this point. If I, you know, if I were mentoring Sarah, which I'm not, but if I were, I wouldn't want her to be, you know, Jeannie short and blingy all over again. I would want her to be Sarah, tall and natural and beautiful. I want to impart anything that I feel like God has given me for her, but yet I want her to use it in the realm of her own gifts. Do you see what I'm saying? So I'm not trying to clone myself. I'm trying to pour out Jesus so they can look like Jesus. So we need to examine ourselves, and we need to recognize what type of mentor we are so that you know if you're a right fit for someone. You may not be a right fit for everyone. And so when you're choosing, I'll go over the choosing the mentees first, like the women that need mentoring. We need to prayerfully ask God who to invest in. Just prayerfully ask him, Lord, who is that woman that you want me to invest in? If someone approaches you to be mentored, and I'm sure that's happened to you, you have to ask them what area. This is real important. Because if someone, and I'll use this for example, I'm like Pastor Steve, I make a joyful noise. If someone came up to me and asked me, please mentor me in how to sing, I wouldn't be a good fit. I wouldn't be a good fit. Now, I personally have not, I've been married to the same man for 30 years. But yet God has given me a heart for women who have been through divorce. So I feel like I can be used of God that way because my heart is right. So I'm not saying that, oh, you have to have like situations all the time. I'm just saying there are some things that we know that are way above what we can deal with. And I think God will let you know that. Does that make sense? You need to be comfortable and natural with that person. We in God's kingdom have all different personalities. And some of us, we just are kindred spirits, and we're just comfortable. And some of us, you know, we love you, you love us, but it just doesn't work. Do you know what I mean by that? In a good way. But we want to be comfortable and natural with the people that we mentor. Dave makes this point that the mentee must show humility, faithfulness, commitment, a good attitude, teachability, a servant's heart, and the fear of the Lord. I just want to add a little side note to this, just from personal experience being mentored and having mentees. I say you need to see that desire in them. Because we all, none of us are completely here. We're all growing in that. So I'd say if they have that desire to be, I want to be more humble. If you see those desires, if you see them as being malleable, willingness to learn, I would add that to that. And most of all, we need to love them, honor them, and serve them, and speak into their lives. Now, if you want to find a mentor, you need to ask yourself, where do you want to grow? What areas do you feel like God wants to develop in you? What's he speaking to you about? He knows your needs. Well, it says in the ADJ book that we often fail to look at others through a mentoring grid. How many of you look at people through a mentoring grid? I've never even thought about that. Like, who, you know, I don't do that. But if you're seriously looking for a mentor, you need to look at your sphere of influence and the people that you know around you through that grid. Who has the level of expertise and experience in the area that you want to grow in? Here's a huge piece of that. Do you honor them? Do you respect them? That's huge. Because if you don't have that, you're going to hear, but you're not going to let it go to your heart. Are you drawn to them? And then once you find the mentor, you schedule a time, and the mentor schedules time around their schedule for you. And how do you receive your most from your mentor? You're prepared. You ask questions, and you apply what's taught. Apply what's taught. Apply what's taught. If you're mentoring someone and you're taking your time, or if someone's mentoring you and they are taking their valuable time to spend with you, don't be flippant in it. Take what they say and apply it. Now, all that might seem plastic and forced, but I would say to you that finding a mentor or a mentee should be very natural and not plastic and forced. And I believe in a God of divine appointments. So I believe that if you're praying for a mentor, a mentee, God will place that person in your path supernaturally, and you will know that you know that you know that this is the one that God has placed for me today. Now, I'm going to give you a couple examples of mentors and mentees in my own life. And Melinda said that I could use her today, so she didn't know I was going to, but. Wait, Melinda. I know, I waited. Okay. This is Melinda. You guys know Melinda. I moved here about 5 years ago, and I had lived in Indiana for 48 years. And after 48 years, you have some deep, sweet friendships. And God called us here. And God says in his word, and I'm paraphrasing, He will bless you 100-fold if you've left mothers, brothers, you know what I'm talking about, friends, a land. And so I came here and I went to the first women's retreat. And I had been praying, Lord, I have some deep friendships in Indiana that have walked me through some trials that I don't know if I can walk through here without deep friendships. And this is what I'm talking about, divine appointments. I went to the women's retreat, the first one, and I was sitting in a seat just like you are, and there was a woman that was sitting in front of me. And she was a little more quiet than I was, but I began to talk with her. And all of a sudden, something in my heart went, this is your good friend. This is a girl I'm raising up that's going to walk beside you through some tough stuff. And instantly, I don't know what happens in the heavenlies, do you? No. Instantly, it was just like connection. And I could share my life with her, and it was like she's known me since I was in kindergarten. And little did I know some of the stuff that I would walk through that she's walked through me. And it's so sweet because this is a side-by-side mentor. And she pours into me. And I can trust what she says, that it comes from the foot of the cross, from the throne room. It's a beautiful thing. And so if you don't have someone that you walk through life with like this, pray that God will make a divine appointment, because he has. It's sweet. It's sweet. I can be high maintenance sometimes. So that's sweet. And then I have some downward mentors. And this was really funny. Carol Goodwin and Diana Kua, just if you know them, they're just like profound. And they're like big sisters to me. They're, you know, a few years older than I am and lots wiser. And God's just placed them in my path. And it was really sweet yesterday. And mentoring, I mean, it can be coffee. But once you do that mentoring, they just kind of take you under their wing. And so yesterday morning, I was talking to Rick and we were talking. I said, and I know, I mean, he's a man, you know, but he still acts like he totally gets it when I say this. I just feel kind of like I need, I don't know, like just to feel like I have value. Do you know what I mean? I just feel like I just need something, you know, and he's like, oh, hon, I love you, you know. But I just felt like I just need that warmth, you know. Do you guys know what I mean? You know, and I'm explaining this to him. So last night I come into the healing service, and this is the beauty of what God does through mentors. And I walked up, and Diana Kua just looked at me, and I said, what, you have a word? Because sometimes she has these profound words for me. She said, nope. All I got is this. And she hugged on me for 5 minutes. And my little love tank was going, only God could know that. So a little bit later, I'm over here, and no one's seen this, and I walk over, and Carol's looking at me. I said, hi, how are you? Good, come here, sit by me. They never, I mean, just wouldn't let go. And I thought, God, you care that much. So mentoring happens in so many different ways. And then the other thing we can have, and Linda won't mind me sharing this, will you, Linda? We can also have mentees, and I am a guide mentor, and our sweet Linda back here, who's going through a trial and tribulation in her health, asked me if I'd be willing to meet with her once a month and just walk her through where I've been with the diagnosis of cancer. Only God can put those things together. Now, I took a little survey last week in my group, and I said, okay, girls, what would keep you from being a mentor or a mentee? What would hold you back from that? And here's some of the answers I got. Fear. Fear. And we know that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. But I would challenge you, if you're racked with fear, and I have walked that journey, and you know that scripture, pray that it'll go from here to here. Pray that God will change that picture of fear that you have into a picture of faith through his power. Rejection. That's a biggie. Like, what if I ask someone to mentor me and they reject me? That'd be scary, wouldn't it? I have had an opportunity to ask someone to mentor me in an area. And they were like, you know what? I can't. I don't have time. I'd love to, but it's not the right timing. And you know what? Sometimes, and I've said this before, rejection is protection. And you know, God turned that around because I prayed, Lord, give me, how do you feel about this? And God turned that around in my mind, and I went, what a cool chick that she understands her boundaries and her yes is yes and her no is no. I want to be like that. And God taught me a lot through that because I could be crazy busy and somebody say that, and I'd be like, sure, yeah, I'll put, you know, and not even think or pray about it. So in rejection, that mentor mentored me. Isn't that cool? So God's got this. If somebody says, no, I can't, or they're setting boundaries, whew, that's awesome. That's awesome. Another thing that people spoke, Holy Spirit speaks, and I minimize the need and dismiss it. They feel like maybe we're not worthy, or we're not sure if we heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. We're worthy because God makes us worthy. And anything that's pure and lovely and of good report is from the Holy Spirit. And I believe God wants to say to you today, girls, I've placed my Holy Spirit in you. And I want you to grow in the fullness. You're not babies on the breast anymore. I know that's what he's spoken to me. And if you don't go, who will go? We have all the information we need. We have the word. We've studied the discipleship journey. And I'm here to speak this word over you. You are worthy because worthy is the Lamb, bloodshed on Calvary. We are made worthy. End of story. And girls, it doesn't matter if you're 18 or you're 75 or anywhere in between. God is saying, get your eyes off yourself. Don't worry about yourself. I got that. If I care about the sparrows and I give the daisies their petals and I tell the ocean how far to go and when to stop, I can help you in this. So move off the breast and let's eat steak and help others to move off the breast as well. Because in this next season, he needs women who know who they are in Christ. And the enemy has spent years lying to us, telling us we're not worthy, telling us we're not good enough, telling us we're not educated enough, telling us that we have to be like this person or that person. And he is saying, get out of the boat, Peters. Walk on the water and keep your eye on me. And watch and see what I do through you. In John 14, 26, it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He's going to bring to your remembrance everything that he has taught you at the time you need it. He gives you grace when you need it. In Psalm 119:130, the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Thank goodness, because I'm simple. The unfolding of God's word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. So whether you're in a mentoring relationship, if you're talking to somebody about coming to know Christ, we can just rest in that. It's so over my head to hardly grasp, but it's so simple. He's got this. Like, we don't have to worry. He's got this. Another thing that people said were time commitment. Like, oh my goodness, if I mentor, it's going to take time. And I already work and I do this and that and I have kids and I've got to spend time with my husband and I got to grocery shop on Thursday because I always grocery shop on Thursday. But I believe that our time is like tithing. And in Malachi, it talks about tithing financially. But I believe if we tithe our time to God, He'll give it back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. If we give our time to something that we know that God is calling us to do, He gives us time back. I don't know how it works. When we get up in the morning and we pray and we seek His face, somehow we get everything done. If we go, oh, I don't have time, I'm going to do that later, I'm going to clean, somehow I run out of time. It's just an amazing, neat principle. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. There's a sweet story of a mentor I want to share with you. And this is a different kind of mentor, but it kind of goes along with if someone feels like they're not worthy, or I know people feel like, well, I had my season, and now I'm really not doing anything that would be a benefit for anybody. And I want to tell you a story about Bill Wade. Does anybody know Bill Wade? Okay. Bill Wade is Lisa Rice's dad. And Bill Wade was an NFL quarterback. He played for the L.A. Rams, and he played for the Chicago Bears. In 1963, he was the quarterback for the championship game. He was an amazing man. He started here in Nashville, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and he traveled around the world and spoke for Jesus Christ. He had a huge impact on his team, on his coaches, on the other players, on just people that came to listen to him. Mighty, mighty man of God. And Lisa asked me the other day, hey, do you want to go see my daddy with me? And daddy's now like 83 years old and he's in a nursing home. I said, sure, I'd love it. And I walked into the nursing home. And he was in a wheelchair. And he was blind. And one of his feet was just swollen almost beyond recognition because it was so, he was working through an infection or something. And on the wall were all his past exploits, I guess, you know, NFL stuff, pictures, but all over the wall. I love you, Bill, thank you. Pictures of his kids. We love you, Grandpa. We love you, Daddy. And the thing that struck me was in all his trial and tribulation, he was the sweetest, most gentle giant I think I've ever met. Jesus lived in him and radiated out of him. and a man that the world would say, he's washed up, he has nothing left to give, spoke to me volumes of what it means to finish well. And God laid this scripture on my heart. And I learned this through Bill Wade. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Bill was my mentor that day for sure. And you know what? Sometimes the greatest measure of mentoring we can do is when we preach it broken. Now, I've shared all this with you, and you go, okay, Lord. Okay, I want to be that girl. I want to be that girl. How do I get from here to there? And in John 15, 5, it says, he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. If you go to a vineyard before it's harvested, there are some branches that have more fruit than others. And if you look at that branch in the winter, in the desolate time, the branch that has the most fruit is the one where the circumference of the branch into the vine is the biggest. And the reason it's the biggest is because sap from the ground through the vine goes into the branch. And so it is with us. We need to abide in Christ. If we want to be a woman after God's heart and women that produce much fruit, we've got to have a big branch stuck into an amazing vine. And we have to allow the lifeblood of Jesus Christ and his spirit to flow in us. I had this crazy dream last night, you guys, and I believe I'm supposed to share it with you. Last night, the healing service, Jimmy Rice handed out mustard seeds to us. And I mean, have you guys seen a mustard seed? Like, it's the tiniest thing. You can't even see it. I mean, you can't even see it. Put it in my hand. Wow. It was profound because God says if we have faith as a mustard seed, we can move mountains. Right? So last night I had this dream. And you know those dreams that just keep going over and over and you just keep, okay. There was a man. Now, it wasn't Mark Bright, but he looked similar to Mark Bright. He had a beard down to here. I mean, big, bushy beard, okay? And he had this mustard seed, and he accidentally dropped it in his beard, and he couldn't find it. He was looking, rifling around. He couldn't find the mustard seed, so it was stuck. So he continued on in his life, and he cared for himself, and he took showers, and, you know, all that you do. And one day, he woke up, and this mustard seed had taken root in his beard, and it was humongous. Is that the weirdest thing? I said, Father, what in the world does that mean? What does that mean? I know it has significance. And the Lord showed me this morning. Even if you have faith of a mustard seed, even if you can't even find it anywhere, you can't muster that up, no matter what's happened to you, if you feel like that's lost, it's not lost. But it needs to take root and grow. And just like the bearded man would take a shower, that water from the shower caused that mustard seed to grow. So it is with us. When we stay in the Word and we stay in prayer, the water from the Word, the water from our Papa in heaven causes that to grow. So I don't care if you don't think you have any type of faith. God will grow that up if you do your part. Now, here's the sweet part of, I'm excited about this. God God has just laid this on. How many of you know what anointing oil is or what it means or significance? I want to share that in case you don't. How many leaders are here today? Leaders of the groups. Okay. In a moment, I'm going to have the leaders come up and just have anointing oil. And I'm just going to have them anoint your forehead like a cross and just speak a blessing over you, similar to what we would do when we take communion. But oil back, well, let me explain this. Anointing in the Bible is to signify that someone or something is consecrated for holy use, okay? And in the Old Testament, they'd smear oil all over you, okay? And in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is the anointing, okay? But when you anoint something or someone, it's set aside. And I truly believe that we're ready for that. And if you're ready for that next step in your walk with Jesus, I believe that he wants to anoint you, and then we're going to pray a blessing over you. It says in Exodus 30, 31, "You shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may serve me as priests. And you shall say to the people of Israel, this shall be my holy anointing oil throughout your generations." And you might think, priests? Priests, but here's what God says in the New Testament. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." Oh my gosh, he's talking to us. He's talking to us. "God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." God is calling us into this next season to be mighty warriors. We have everything we need. And if you're willing, God is more than able. And so I'd ask that the leaders would come forward. And we have the anointing oil. And then after they anoint you, girls, if you're comfortable doing this, would you bow here at the altar, and I want to pray a prayer over you that God led me to pray. So if you just come up and have the women anoint you, one of them. Okay. Is everybody comfortable doing that? I just think God's going to show up in an amazing way. I love that he gives us an opportunity to be a part. We don't have to. He allows us to. It's awesome. So as Janine plays a little bit, if you'll come up and then just bow at the altar, and then once everybody's there at the altar, then I'll pray the prayer for you.